Coming up next is the Professor James McCanny Science Hour at the Crossroads. Now on shortwave, WWCR, frequency 5.070 at 7 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays, and also on Reality Radio Network Internet at www.realityradionetwork.com on Thursday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. And now, once again, here's your host, the Professor.
Good evening, March 6th, 2008. A lot of material to cover tonight, but this just in, this is amazing, and I don't think many of you will be surprised. It's called USA 180HQ. It's a program agreement, a military program agreement between Canada and the United States for military civil assistance program. It is called, it's a bilateral military agreement between Canada and the United States, signed by the U.S. military and the Canadian military without civil approval. In other words, this was not submitted to Congress, was not approved by Congress of either countries. It's simply an agreement between the military juntas, or whatever you want to call them now. This is in conjunction with the Homeland Security Directive, the Homeland Terrorist Act that was passed, or whatever you call it. It was simply wasn't a it was not passed. It was simply declared, where all control of all levels of government, travel, etc., would go under the direction of the president. In other words, a military dictatorship. And this is the other arm of it, allowing the military to act independent of Congress in conjunction with Canadian military, the Canadian military. Once again, this is called the Military Civil Assistance Program. It was signed between the militaries of the two countries, Canada and the United States. It was signed on February 14th, 2008, to control civil emergency disorder, and it in case supposedly of storms, inclement weather, health issues, which would be a like a who knows a government sponsored bioterrorist attack on one or both of the countries, civil rights issues, or terrorist attacks. Now, this covers a pretty broad spectrum of incidents, and once again, this allows the militaries of either country to cross borders, even though there is not a border incident, or an incident which involves Canadians in the U.S. or U.S. citizens in Canada. So it's simply at the directive of, who knows, somebody in the military junta of the United States can declare this, and of course, all coming under the banner of Homeland Security Directive. This just came out, and this I saw, this was emailed to me, and I got contact of this from a number of people. So look for that. USA 180HQ is the designation of this bilateral military agreement between the United States and Canadian military, but without congressional approval. It was not even submitted to Congress. Okay, so on to the next topic. I want to quickly review last week's show, and in cracking encryption codes was the primary topic, and I somewhat ran up against the end of the show, as I usually do, so I'm going to summarize. By the way, the main science topic for this show is the future. The future, what has to be done in terms of science for us to move into this next century successfully. And, of course, every effort is being made to block the public and the private entrepreneurs from advancing in the areas of science where we need technological advances for green or clean energy. And that's a very deceptive term now, because all corporations, you're going to find gasoline companies and oil companies claiming they are green. Anything to promote, and of course lie about what they're really doing, pollution, they're all claiming to be green. I've seen some of the commercials on TV, or how some of the food conglomerate corporations are claiming to be green, just your buddy out there, when in reality they are taking over the world food supply, corrupting it with hybrid plants, and then turning half of the world into their slave labor so they can grow these products in foreign countries and ship them around the world at enormous profit. Yeah, those are the green companies. So at any rate, what I'm going to list, though, in my main science topic are the things that we should be doing to actually move into the next century. And you might be surprised at some of the things we're going to have to do, including getting rid of the 40-hour work week. Whoever invented that, with all the people running around like crazy people, burning up all this energy just to get back and forth to work to push some papers, that is absolutely insane and cannot continue. And getting rid of that would eliminate the environmental problems, the pollution problems, and the oil crisis all in one. Because we're living in a fake economy, it's a false economy. Well, more of that when I talk about the... And then I will go into the science. What do we have to do in science? What is absolutely important in science to bring us into an era where we can live on this planet free of pollution, free of dominion from these the World Bank and these phony money systems? Science has to take a leading role. That's the main science topic tonight. Okay, so back to just a review of last week's show where I talked about cracking encryption codes. And I'm going to review this again for the computer experts out there. And one of the points of giving this information is to show how very easy it is to crack encryption codes. And I talked specifically about the prime number-based encryption codes, but there are many other ones. But the problem is most of the world, the banking, the security, the national security agencies, the military, are already well entrenched in the prime number encryption codes. And this is in software, in banks, in secure computing facilities, and it simply cannot be changed readily. Some people say, well, we'll just change to another encryption code. Well, if you know anything about programming, if you know anything about hardware and how they are married indelibly into one system, or if you understand how bankers work, they don't want somebody going in and changing pieces of software in their systems where it could change other things that happen. So, and because of the poor design and most of the software, much of this encryption is interwoven right into the other software packages that are running on banking systems, on commerce, and credit card transactions, etc., etc. So you just can't go in willy-nilly and quick change something like the encryption or the firewalls, etc. So anyway, that's why it's so important for people to understand how fragile computing and secure computing is, all the way up to the military satellites, etc. And I'm talking specifically, once again, about the prime number encryption codes, but the other encryption codes are very fragile and susceptible to being cracked. And once a foreign entity or terrorists, I mean real terrorists, not the phony ones that the U.S. government puts up, but the real terrorists, or a foreign country that wants to do us in, financially, like say China or other countries, I'm going to show you how very easy it is for them to crack into our encryption codes across this wide spectrum of applications, from banks to commerce to credit card applications to military to high security installations, etc. Okay, so once again, here are the tricks of the trade for the prime number solutions, and once again, the prime number encryption codes are based on selecting a very large number that is the product of two prime numbers. And then the trick, of course, to cracking the encryption code would be to find the two factors of the very large number, the public encryption key, as it is called. And so here is how you would do that, just very quickly once again. And I want to summarize this because, once again, I kind of ran up to the end of the show last week and did not get to summarize. So just quickly, and this is important, even if you're not a math buff, you would like to understand this just in general terms so you know how easy it is. A third grader with a good computer and a couple 500 gigabyte hard drives could break these codes relatively easily. Imagine a country like China with professionals, highly trained professionals with massive computer systems, how easily they could go in and start cracking these encryption codes. Once again, you take the large number, which is the public key, and then you want to find the two prime numbers, which are very large numbers that are factors. Take the square root of the large number. That's relatively simple. And you don't even have to have it exact. You can make an estimate based on the first higher order 10 digits. All you need is an order of magnitude number, the length of the number, in other words, the number of digits in the number. That would be the square root of the public large number, the big number. We'll just call it simply the big number. And, of course, we're looking to for the two prime factors. The two prime factors are typically about the same size. So you want to start your search based on a number that is about the square root of the big number. Okay, now, you generate the prime numbers using my formula, the prime number generator function that you find in my Calculate Primes book. Very simple. On any kind of reasonable computer, you can generate the prime number list. And here's what you record when you're generating the prime numbers. The number in sequence, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, each prime number is in sequence. And so then you number them. This is the first prime number, the second prime number, the third, etc. So each prime number has a sequence number. The other thing you have is you have two databases. You have one database that contains the entire prime number, and you have a second database that you use, which contains just the first three digits, the higher order three digits, and the lower order three digits. And then the length, the number of digits in the number, and that is corresponds to the sequence number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the prime number in sequence. And so what you're going to work with is just the number with the higher order three digits, the lower order three digits, and the length of the number of digits in the number. And all of the prime numbers that we're going to start using, this is in the region of the square root of the big number, we're going to start going up and down, and you might get some friends together and take the numbers, the blocks of prime numbers. One guy take a certain group of numbers, then the next guy take another group of numbers. And this is what the Chinese would be doing, not necessarily the Chinese, but any foreign country that wanted to take down the U.S. financially or militarily by breaking the encryption codes. And you would take individual groups of numbers, maybe a million numbers for one guy and then the next million prime numbers for the next guy, and you'd break it up into groups, going up and down from the square root of the big number. Okay, now, what you do is, let's say the last digit in the big prime number is 9. Then there's only two combinations of the smaller prime numbers that could equal 9. 3 times 3 is 9, or 1 times 9 is 9. And so you only have to look for pairs of prime numbers that have those final digits. And then, as with any multiplication, the length of the product is going to depend on how many digits you have in each number. And then you can use the higher order numbers to get an estimate to see if they match the higher order numbers of the big number. And it's a very simple process. So you don't have to multiply out these vast, huge numbers. And you would eliminate most of the numbers in your lists very quickly using just the first three digits. Multiply those out. The product is going to give you a unique set of numbers, the first three digits in the big number. And those, so you take the numbers you're attempting to search in your prime number list that are near, above, or below the square root of the big number, and you just start searching which of these combinations yield the same numbers, the exact numbers in our big number, the lowest order bit digits. And then if you'll eliminate a tremendous number of your potential factor candidates right away. Then what you do is you take the ones that are left, the ones that worked, you go back into your main database, the big database that contains the entire prime numbers, using your sequence number, go in and pull out the next three lowest order digits. You go through the same process again, multiply those out. This time you're going to eliminate a very large percentage of those factor candidates. And so you get through there, you get down to a final list, you're going to get down, and then you always compare the size of the product to make sure it matches the size of the big number from your two factors, and then you're down to a very manageable list of numbers. You keep doing this with the group of numbers you have remaining that are still candidates. Go back into your big database of prime numbers, pull out the next lower order three digits, and keep doing that. Every time you do this, you're going to greatly reduce the number of factors, prime candidates, so to speak, that you have to work with. Very quickly, I would say, if you get good at this, within a matter of minutes, you can break the biggest encryption codes on the planet. So the reason I'm saying this is just imagine the fun that other countries are going to have. And by the way, I would not call the other countries terrorist countries. I would call the United States the terrorist country, and these people are simply trying to get back what has been stolen by the CIA, the U.S. military, and the junta that runs this country. And just take diamonds, take oil, take resources, take platinum, you take any precious commodity on the world market. And a lot of people don't understand that the United States is just the front of the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, which goes into these countries. If you want to read a book, read the book called Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and you will then understand what has been going on, how basically the U.S. military has been going in along with the CIA front people, commandeering the resources of every country in the world, from water to diamonds to gold to silver, precious metals, commodities like wood, the timber industry, you name it. And then the big businesses follow, going in, taking out the resources and using the local people as slave labor. That's what's been going on. So when you look at what the other countries, how they view the United States, you have to go and live in a third world country for a while to see this firsthand, as I have done, and understand the bad image that the United States has around the world because of basically stealing the resources from all of these countries, leaving them with nothing. So anyway, why would any other country want to break encryption codes, break into our military satellite installations and secure installations, break into the NSA where a lot of the information is harbored regarding the activities of the United States, etc.? Well, there you got it. There's enough reason right there. Okay, on to the next topic. I did want to review last week. I mentioned that the 400 major aquifers in the United States have been tested. All of them, literally all of them. These are the deep water ground aquifers, the underground hundreds of feet, if not miles under the water, under the ground, some of these. Crucial aquifer water supplies of the United States, we have always assumed have been protected from contamination. Every last one of these aquifers was found to be polluted with the following viral diseases in measurable amounts. In other words, you could take a cup of this water and find the following viruses: meningitis, encephalitis, newborn enteroviral disease, and polio. These amongst a whole laundry list of other viruses commonly found in our deep aquifer water supplies. And that's why I just, if you don't have your own good water filter, and that's why I have the Berkey water filter available, it's just the only thing that's going to take these viruses out of your water supply. So in the cities that treat the water with chlorine first and then fluorinated water, that is not going to reduce the viruses in the water. So if you cook, if you make vegetables, if you make a salad and rinse your salad greens or whatever out of tap water, you now stand the risk of infecting you and your family with these major human viral diseases simply because of the water coming out of your tap. And the standard inline water filters do not take these out. They're designed for another list of items. The only thing that I'm aware of that will successfully take out these viruses is the Berkey, the black Berkey filters in the Berkey water filter system. And it's just two containers. One sits on top of the other. You simply pour the water in the top. The water filters through to the bottom container, and you can pour it out. I always keep a glass pitcher in my refrigerator. I don't wash my vegetables. I don't cook with tap water. I always use the filtered water. If I have sprouts, I certainly wouldn't use tap water. And in case of emergency, this is the your inline water filters will not work in case of emergency because the tap water will simply be turned off. You can carry the Berkey filter with you on travel, and I wouldn't go anywhere without a Berkey water filter, especially you're going to other states, you're going to foreign countries. Even if you go camping, I would bring the Berkey water filter so you have your own source of fresh water on a daily basis. Mine is in my kitchen. I wouldn't do anything with water relative to food from water from the tap. Absolutely would not. So just look on my webpage, jmccsci.com. And if you're using mail order, it's $339 for the Berkey water filter. Free shipping to the 50 states. And if you're in the United States, you get also the free Kato WRX 911 shortwave radio. That's in a small emergency radio. You can carry it in your pocket. It runs on two AA batteries that last about 400 hours, and you can listen to my radio show on that shortwave radio. It has the correct band for my radio show, 5070 megahertz. So at any rate, once again, the mail order address, JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Minnesota, 55392. JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Minnesota, 55392, and that's $339. You get the black Berkey, the four black Berkey filters, two that you use and two for spares. They are reusable, and the free Kato WRX 911 radio, free shipping to the 50 states. And if you live in an area where there are you're using well water or city water, you may want to add $60 for the fluoride arsenic filters. They're an add-on filter that removes arsenic and fluoride from your water. On to the main science topic. Let me look through my list here. Oh, I forgot something. Excuse me. Here's a very important message. Now, this, in the next number of months, an estimated 2 million, it was a million just a few weeks ago, now the estimate has gone up to 2 million, houses will go into foreclosure, and this is why. Now, these are not just the subprime rate houses. These are middle income and very expensive houses in some cases. Here is why. A number of years ago, within the past 5 years, people refinanced and possibly rolled some debt into their equity of their house using what is known as a second mortgage, an equity line, or there are various types of these. And they got the second loan on an ARM, an adjustable rate mortgage. And typically, 99% of the time, these came with a 5-year balloon. That means that after 5 years, the entire balance had to be paid off and you had to refinance. Well, what's happening is people have their locked in fixed rate 30-year mortgage, but they have this small secondary ARM equity line of credit or whatever with a 5-year balloon. These balloons are coming due. So the people go back into the bank because the house values have dropped down 20% in many cases. And also, the banks have new guidelines for giving loans. They used to be able, just a year ago, to write up to 100% loan to value. But because of the dropping cost or dropping value of houses, they will only lend up to 80% in most cases. So people who have good incomes, people who have sufficient money to pay for their loan, now cannot afford to refinance their house unless they fork over sometimes $20,000 to $100,000 in cash to cover the loss in value of the house and to come under the rules of the bank that require 80% equity to loan value or loan to equity, whatever, the ratio of the actual value of the house versus the amount of in the total loan, the primary mortgage plus the equity loan. So these people are caught in a catch-22. They cannot refinance the bank. They don't fit in the bank rules. So they simply have to foreclose. They can't afford the house they're in that they many times built the house or been living there sometimes for 10 or 15 years. They cannot afford the house they're living in. 2 million of these coming due in the next few months. But here is what's going on. As the banks, and now understand that the paper on these loans is transferred almost immediately to other lending institutions, to collection companies who do nothing but collect money from mortgages, and everybody has taken a piece of the pie. Sometimes these loans are transferred as many as 6 times within the first couple months of the life of the loan. So what's happened is the paperwork never followed the loan. All of the transfers have been done on computer, and as such, the banks and the lending organizations and the final collection companies that are collecting the money for the mortgage, they do not have the paperwork. So when they go into court to try and foreclose and go through the court proceeding, they don't have the paperwork. And even if you have a good loan and are making your payments, chances are the company that holds your loan that actually collects the money, chances are, about a 99% chance, they do not have the proper paperwork. And so they even estimate that some people, instead of trying to sell their house because they would take a loss on it, sometimes people who have been in a house for 20 years and they just want to move, instead of trying to sell the house, they will just continue to live there, stop making payments, and hope that they are one of the growing list of millions of houses that cannot be foreclosed upon because the banks simply do not have the correct paperwork. And the courts have been rejecting the banks, much to the bank's chagrin, and they call these, let me get the note on this, they're called a lost, oh, where's my paperwork? Lost, oh, here it is, I'm sorry. It's called a lost note affidavit, and this is what the mortgage companies are trying to slip through. They come in and simply say to the court, we lost the paperwork, but we guarantee you that we're the holder of this note, and therefore, please set the house into foreclosure and give it to us. Well, the courts are not buying this. They're not buying off on it, luckily, and therefore they're throwing the foreclosures out of court. So I just want everybody to know about this, because if you are in this boat where your equity loan or your main loan balloon is coming due and you're in danger of foreclosure, make sure, if you do end up in court, that in fact the mortgage company that claims to hold the note can produce the proper paperwork. Don't let them slip through a lost note affidavit, file an objection, and say that this is not the company that owns the note or whatever, and require them to prove it. Because chances are, as I said, about a 99% chance, they will not be able to produce the paperwork that shows that they have the note. In fact, there might be two or three agencies there trying to foreclose on the same house. So just be aware of that. Okay, looking through my notes. Oh, here's one I want to review this. Last week I talked about NASA's announcement that the new NASA view of the solar system is that there are thousands of planets in our solar system. Now, I just about fell off my chair and laughed and rolled myself silly when I heard this. NASA, now, the new view that they want to promote through textbooks, through whatever, is that there are thousands of planets in our solar system. Well, gee, I wonder whoever may have said something about that before. Anyway, of course, I've given lectures on this, and piece by piece, NASA simply has to admit that everything I've been doing is right. But of course, they want to try and take credit for it. Here's an article that just came out this week. Planet is being searched for at the edge of our solar system. This came out just a couple days ago, released February 28th from a Japanese news agency. It says, scientists at a Japanese university said Thursday they believed another planet up to two-thirds the size of Earth was orbiting in the far reaches of the solar system. Researchers at Kobe University in western Japan said calculations using computer simulations led them to conclude it was only a matter of time before the mysterious planet X was found. Now, I want people out there to have a little fun with this. This actually came from a dsc.discovery.com news site. And mail it to some of those textbook repeater wannabes, loser. Some of them are actually astronomers who've been bad-mouthing my name. And, telling the world that there is no such thing as Planet X and McCanny is a nutcase, all of this stuff. Have a little fun and send it over. Actually, this will be published in the Astronomical Journal in April. The search for Planet X is on. And I just want to reread the comment here. Researchers at Kobe University in Western Japan said calculations using computer simulations led them to conclude it was only a matter of time before the mysterious Planet X was found. So now this is going on. This is a worldwide search. It would have an oblong elliptical solar orbit and circle the sun every few thousand years. The study comes after 2 years after school textbooks had to be rewritten when Pluto was booted out of the list of planets. Now, I have to laugh. I just am reading this. So now we have international groups of scientists publishing in the Astronomical Journal. This is one of the most prestigious peer-reviewed astronomical journals for space science, astronomy, and astrophysics in the world, publishing that the worldwide community is now convinced that there is a Planet X. It has an elliptical orbit that orbits our sun every few thousand years. Hello out there, folks. Is that something? I hope you have a good laugh on that one with me, because, upwards and onwards to the main science topic tonight. What in the world has to be done to bring this entire world absolute nutcase situation we have going on back to reality? The worldwide stock markets are crashing. Gold and silver are going through the roof. Every foreign country that can is dumping the dollar. The only reason the Chinese are holding on is because they have so much invested in it. It's the old dilemma of the major investor. If they go to cash out, they're the only ones holding the ticket, so nobody's going to buy their stupid dollars. So China has to sit there and hold them. But eventually, however, as all of these foreclosures go under, one might think that they might want to come in and start claiming something. Many of our freeways are already owned by foreign entities. Most of the buildings in New York are owned by foreign entities. Major cities have, you don't know who owns what anymore, and even our media is owned by conglomerates where nobody knows who anybody is or who owns what. And so at any rate, here I'm going to just simply go down the list of financial and political issues that have to change from the United States to get this whole thing turned around. And of course, the leading candidates have absolutely no plan to do any of this because they're all bought and paid for. Congress is worthless. The United States government has a big problem. And just to begin this, now this is not a political commentary or a show on politics, because what I want to get to is where we have to be in science. What leading role does science have to take to get us to where we have to be in this crazy world? But there have to be some political changes also. Now, I want to read this. This was written by Alexander Tyler, and it was an analysis. I'll just go ahead and read this. It's about one paragraph, so just bear with me. I'm going to quick read this expose written by Professor Alexander Tyler. This was when the 13 colonies were still a part of England. Professor Alexander Tyler wrote this. It said, the fall of the Athenian Republic over 2,000 years previous to that time, a democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves money from the public treasury. Then, with the result that a a democracy can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves money from the public treasure, from the public treasury, and from that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates promising the most money from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's great civilizations has been about 200 years. Gee, sound familiar? These nations have progressed through the following sequence. From bondage to spiritual faith. That would have been the initial pilgrims coming over. From the bondage of religious repression in England and in Europe, coming over with great sacrifice, coming to the United States to forge a new life based on spiritual faith. The next step, from spiritual faith to great selfishness. And of course, that happened through the 1800s, the Civil War being the epitome of that. From selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependency, from dependency back to bondage. And that's where we are today. We have run the full 200-year cycle of democracy back to a dictatorship from whence we started. All because people learned that government, and of course this is based on taxation of individuals, two things had to happen. You had to start tapping into the efforts and good labors of the individual and taxing it. and then funneling that money into corporations who would profit greatly by the flow of money from the public to the corporations. And once this flow started, you can't stop it. And that's what the founding fathers knew. That's why they created a country that was illegal to tax the individual, because they had just gotten away from that. Then what you get are the phony wars, because guess what? The biggest corporations produce the war machine. And so now we have to have endless wars to produce, to have these corporations, the aerospace and the military corporations, in a continuous cycle of producing newer, better products. Gee, look at the cover of Popular Science and Popular Mechanics magazines. Every week it's a new greater boat for warfare, or a new greater fighting man's gun, or whatever it is. That companies are making huge amounts of money off of these ventures. So this now cannot be stopped. We are on a reckless road to absolute destruction, and it all started when they began taxing individuals and funneling that money into the pockets of corporations, when in fact it was only the corporations' revenues that were to be taxed in the original Constitution. The president is in charge of making sure that the people are taxed and the money moves to the corporations on a regular basis. That is now the president's job and Congress' job. They have given the banking system over to a private bank from Europe, and our money is backed by nothing. We no longer manufacture anything in this country, and I started out this show by telling you just one more step on the reckless road to dictatorship. And the absolute prediction here from Alexander Tyler, as I said, that was written before the 13 colonies became independent while they were still part of England. Here is what would have to happen to get us back on track. Write off the national debt. It's a worthless debt based on interest to phony money, to phony bankers and private banks. Reinstall our own national federal bank as it was intended. Get rid of the central banking system based on the Federal Reserve, and eliminate interest on loan, the kind of interest we see today, and get back to the single small percentage usury fee that would be required for processing loans to individual. Congress would then initiate the money necessary for public projects, and as I've talked about on previous shows. So get back to our own monetary standard, with Congress running the purse strings, not the corporations. Free student education for as far as you can go. Education is a value-based product. Students, when they are educated, are a value asset, like a bridge or a public building or a road or a highway. Students are an asset that should be, their education should be paid for by the public. And of course, in all of this, a stern, absolute guidance to prevent abuse of this system, so that there wasn't gouging or overpriced education as we see today. You start noticing, and I've been in education about half of my life, you start noticing when the cost of colleges and universities started to skyrocket. What skyrocket was when the banks, the private banks, got into loaning for college. Now they are loan sharking at exorbitant interest rates, requiring parents basically holding them hostage for their students' educations, and now most of the money that is paying for education comes from loans from private banks, countersigned by the parents of students. This is an absolute travesty of education, and when the universities and colleges found out, they could start raising the prices, because people would sign anything, any loan amount, to get that education because they valued it for their kids. They knew that they had the parents held hostage, and that's what's happening today. That has to end, absolutely. We need value-based money. We have to get rid of the CIA, absolutely close it down, go in, get all the documents out of there, and find out what these yo-yos have been doing. The FBI has to be rebuilt to be an internal investigation of crime, not of the public. Homeland Security and all of the structure built around it have to be done away with. We have to end all of the lobbying in Washington and the PACs, the political action groups that fund Congress, that fund the elections, and assure that corporations have purchased the tributes, so to speak, of congressmen. All of that has to end. We get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank, which is an independent private bank. Get rid of that. We have to get rid of the IRS, which is its collection agency of the, for the public, and get back to an absolute simple flat tax on revenue of corporations. The amount of corporate taxes would actually go down. Many of the corporations would actually have to pay more simply because they are not paying a penny in tax today because of creative accounting. Taxation of corporations as it was originally intended. Get rid of taxation of all individuals. Do not replace the individual income tax with any other form of tax, including sales tax. That's just another way to alleviate corporations of paying their fair share of taxes. And the beauty of that system, by the way, is that, believe me, when the corporations have to start paying taxes instead of getting tax money revenues, they would be all over those congressmen to make sure that not a penny was wasted on fraud. Absolutely the opposite of what was going on today. In fact, we would have to get rid of Washington, D.C. entirely and relocate the capital away from all the graft and corruption that has grown up and around Washington, D.C. The military business, the military-industrial complex, would have to be toned down and create manufacturing that is viable, not a black hole. And last but not least, end the 40-hour work week, where people would go to work probably 2 to 3 days a week and possibly stay for longer hours. This immediately would solve our oil crisis, pollution crisis, and environmental crisis. It would reinstate the family and personal friendship as a basis for our society and would allow the American public great wealth and prosperity. But along with this, now the reason I'm talking about all of these seemingly political issues is because of the science that has to go along with this. There is right now a corporation down in the American Southwest which is installing Stirling engines. There are an expected 70,000 of these. It's a mirror with a heat engine, turns water into steam, which produces electricity. And this is now going online in the Southwest, American Southwest, using our abundant sunshine. The future of energy has to completely change. We have to get off of oil onto electric-based systems from this type of energy, Tesla energy, wind energy. I personally see wind energy as the future, and not these stupid three-prop systems that you see around. This was a NASA design. It's my estimate that the three-prop wind turbine was creatively designed to be so inefficient that wind would never become a major source of energy. And so the future of electric wind dams and wind turbines, which are very different than that stupid three-prop system that is absolutely inefficient, and as I said, would guarantee that the United States would never be able to use wind power as one of its primary sources of electricity. That has to change. The world leaders are absolutely out of step with the reality of where this planet has to go. We have to stop polluting. As I said, the water systems are already polluted. They are only becoming more polluted with time. now containing human viruses in all of our basic aquifers around this country, and I'm sure countries like China and probably Europe are far worse. Electricity from space. This would be Tesla type of power changing the tremendous energy from hurricanes and tornadoes into usable energy and providing a grid system and a storage system where every house would have a large capacitor so that, say, there's a big storm down in the American Southwest, a tremendous storm moves in, or say a hurricane moves into Florida. We have the energy tapping towers down there to draw that energy off and move it across the grid system and store it in high voltage, high energy capacitors in every house in this country, and we would have tremendous savings on energy. Just imagine all the coal. That's another industry that has its hand in the back pocket of all the politicians. The coal industry and transportation. A lot of people don't know that oil, one of the big reasons we get it from the Mideast is because a big part of that profit goes to transportation companies. The oil tankers that move that's not free. Those people are gazillionaires. And just think of our little Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice. Gee, isn't that sweet? She has an oil tanker named after her. So you know who's sitting in the White House these days. Not the right people. All those people have to go. They have to be put out to pasture, put the Clintons back in a trailer court in Arkansas where they belong, and let's start changing this country back to what it was meant to be. Get the Bushes, send them back to their ranch in Texas where they can farm pigs or do something useful, and get some real leadership into this country. Private travel and space. Now, electric cars are the way of the future. There's no question about it that electric cars should have been around 100 years ago. They were around. The state of transportation today would be very different. We should have a wind generator on the top of every light pole, every telephone pole, every power pole, every high voltage power line in this country should have a wind turbine on it of appropriate size and driving power back into the grid system. Can you imagine going down the freeway and having the wind generating the electric and the automobiles driving down the road using that power as they drive down the road right there locally? And then the battery packs would not have to be that large. You would have stations where you would go in and exchange battery packs in a matter of a couple minutes. Just about the same time it would take you to gas up your car, you would get a new battery pack and drive away. Electric vehicles could capture 90% of our transportation needs. And so this is very important to understand. The science, we're just on the verge of this. We have the electric motors, we have the braking system, the storage controllers that are necessary. All of this technology exists. We're one step away from having capacitors and super batteries that are capable of taking an automobile 300 miles. They already have automobiles that can go 200 miles on a single charge. And, of course, the electric car system based on capacitors, where we get rid of using chemical batteries that would be very polluting, to have a system of capacitors that would recycle millions of times during their lifetime, and then they could be melted down and recycled into new batteries. But capacitors are the wave of the future for automobiles. Private space travel, where we have suborbital flight instead of a jet airliner carrying 300 people plowing through the atmosphere at 35,000 feet for 7,000 miles. That's absolutely ridiculous when a very small amount of energy could be used to push that aircraft into a parabolic suborbital trajectory, and most of the route would be in glide mode, and then you would glide back in and land. The only energy it would take is to take off and get up to about 40,000 feet, and then a burn of a cryogenic. You would carry oxygen or solid fuel, whatever. And that aircraft then would be projected out into low Earth orbit and eliminate this ridiculous travel where we spend, 9 hours or 12 hours on an airplane going across country, when in fact you could be there in half an hour or 45 minutes. You could be halfway around the world within a couple hours, alleviating the transportation backlog. And these could be done primarily with the type of jets that are being built today, just a little bit of design change. Tourism would increase, as I said, get rid of that 40-hour work week where the entire public is enslaved. Start allowing the family unit to get back together to where cousins. I've had experiences recently where I've known people that cousins have not seen each other for decades and decades because they live within a short distance of each other because they are all running around like chickens with their heads cut off trying to make ends meet in this ridiculous economy that we've been told we have to live in. The cost of housing is absolutely inflated due to interest. If you get rid of interest in the 40-hour work week, right there we've solved our economic problem. People would finally be able to own their houses and work less. We're spending 80 to 90% of our time just paying interest. I'm going to say that again. We are spending 80 to 90% of our work time just paying interest to a phony banking system managed by a few con artist European bankers through the Federal Reserve, and the taxes collected are simply paying interest on a massive national debt based on phony money. Do I have to make it any clearer? So that tourist travel times to destinations, this is a thing that has to be corrected and can be corrected by science. Small fusion reactors. Now, there is a process for creating fusion. This has been looked at in the laboratory. It's not perfected at this point, but it's based on a superatom state of hydrogen, basically the same thing as ball lightning. It's a very energetic state that the hydrogen atom can go into. You see this in lightning storms occasionally. Basically, it's a magnetically bound superatom of hydrogen with the protons being bound in the nucleus at very high speed, moving around in a magnetically bound supernucleus with the electrons moving around it. A very high energy small composite superatom as a way of storing energy. The future of wind power. Now I want to talk just one second about Lindbergh, 1927. As the Great Depression set in, he crossed the Atlantic, opening up the passage by air between the United States and, in fact, worldwide. And do you see what happened with private industry as all of a sudden aviation took off? And the private industry did this, not the government. The government had absolutely nothing to do with it. That's where we are in terms of space today. Private enterprise going into space with the new XPRIZE to get to the moon. And I am out of time, but I'm hoping you're starting to see where this world has to go and where it is being held back by the idiots who are trying to keep us back in the cave ages. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.